This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Xiaoning here with Chuang. Now, in about half an hour, we're going to be having our breakfast grill where Roshan speaks to Philip Alston, former UN Special Rapporteur on extreme poverty.
Yeah, I think the discussion will really focus on this whole issue of decades in Malaysia, maintaining a national poverty line that many criticised was really not representative of the scale of poverty in this country. So we know that the government recently decided to revise the line to 2,208 ringgits per month, up a long distance from the, I think, 900 plus from before. So obviously, Philip Alston has been a very vocal critic of the previous line. And he's also commented publicly that this is a step forward. So I think the question really for this grill is whether this is going to be enough.
Yeah, that's going to be a very interesting conversation. But in meanwhile, we're going to take a look at Hong Kong because there seems to be an outbreak of COVID-19 again. And this is in a city which originally seemed to have beaten it, but reminds us that there is always a risk of a new outbreak emerging because we saw it not too long ago in Beijing and now in Hong Kong. So after a three-week streak of zero cases, Hong Kong has begun to see new clusters emerge.
Yeah, so on Sunday, we know that the city saw 108 new cases, and this is the first time they crossed into the triple digit since January, okay? And of course, we know Carrie Lam, the CEO of Hong Kong, said the situation was really critical and that there was no sign it was coming under control. So since then, there have been tighter restrictions, masks are now mandatory for indoor public places, and more employees are being asked to work from home again.
So for more on this, we're speaking to Benjamin Cowlin, Professor of Infectious Disease Epidemiology at the University of Hong Kong. Apologies. Benjamin, Hong Kong seems to be battling another wave of infections. Can you elaborate more on what this stemmed from?
Yeah, good morning. So there's two possibilities on how infections got back into the city, and I think it's instructive for Malaysia as well. The first possibility, so most people arriving in Hong Kong from outside have to do 14-day quarantine. They can do it in a hotel or at home, but if they do it at home, their family members may be there with them, not under the same restrictions. So if they were infected, they pass infection to family member, that's how it could get out into the community. The second possibility is we have some exemptions, for example, aircrew and pilots, and we know that pilots haven't stayed in their hotel or at home when they're supposed to. They've been out in bars. And also maritime crew. There have been a number of shipping workers who come into the city on their ship. They go out into the city for a good time instead of staying to themselves in their hotel maybe. And so those are the ways that the virus has been able to get back in. And once it's back into the community, then it can spread because life was back to normal.
Yeah, it seems as if, Ben, that Hong Kong was a good example of a country that treated the pandemic quite well, but it seems to be going a little bit awry, like it did in Singapore a little bit. For the Hong Kong example, what went wrong?
So I think it was because we defeated the first wave, and then life was getting back to normal. Schools had reopened, people were back at work, restaurants were fully open. All the other things in the city were opening up again. That meant we were vulnerable. So once the virus did come back, which was going to happen sooner or later, then it's very easy for the virus to spread because the restrictions were no longer in place. And I think we're going to see that elsewhere as well. So we get over a peak and then things start to get back to normal and then the virus flares up again.
So what lessons can Malaysia learn, from the Hong Kong example?
So I think that the 14-day quarantine for Hong Kong is really important, and we now know that it would be better not to have exemptions to that. And also that home quarantine might not be the best approach because of this possibility that a quarantine person, if they were infected, can pass infection to their family members, who then act as normal and can take the virus into the community. So those two issues, I think, would be really important because I know Malaysia at the minute's got low numbers, but you would also need to be worried about a flare up.
So I think there's been discussions of another lockdown in Hong Kong, Ben. How likely is this?
So right now we've tightened the restrictions again back to what they were like at the end of March, which let us get over the first wave. So if the measures are just as effective now as they were then, we should be okay. We should start to see the daily numbers come down this week, next week, maybe over the next month or so, and then back down to zero by September. But as we've seen, then things will get back to normal. Then at some point sooner or later, the virus will come back and we'll be facing a third wave, I guess.
And give us a view of how Hong Kong residents are taking to these precautionary measures. I mean, they've always been more receptive towards masks. But what would you say the level of adherence is to the best practices in general? Because even in Malaysia, we have our Director General of Health warning that maybe masks might be mandatory too, because not everybody takes it seriously.
Yeah. So in Hong Kong, masks are now mandatory, but I don't think that would make a lot of difference because almost everybody was wearing masks all the time anyway. So making it mandatory wouldn't change the level of mask use. We have noticed that in the past 2 weeks, people have stepped up their avoidance behavior, staying at home more often, staying away from crowds, staying away from other people. And that is an important thing as well. It's not only down to the government to make control measures, it's down to the population to behave in a better way to stop the spread of COVID.
Yeah, and looking at the data from Hong Kong as well, it seems that the median age for infectees in your part of the pond is now 55 years old, up from 40 in previous waves. Clusters are now forming nursing homes. What is the approach to this new phenomenon?
It's really concerning to have outbreaks in elderly homes. I think in one elderly home, we had 80% of the residents were infected, and those are really vulnerable people. So it's not good news. Looking forwards, I wonder whether we're going to start doing routine testing of the staff who work in elderly homes. For example, every week the staff get tested, because that would be a better way to try and stop the virus from getting into those elderly homes if there was to be virus in the community, as there is now.
Well, I think contact tracing is another difficulty in Hong Kong as well. You're not getting as much success there, as well as the fact that I think on a peer basis, you're not doing as much testing per numbers of the population as the region is. Is this going to change going forward?
We've ramped up testing quite substantially in the past few weeks. There's now a deal with some companies from mainland China to do large numbers of tests. For contact tracing, we're not doing too badly, but at the moment, unfortunately, a lot of the cases we pick up are not linked with other known cases. So there must be some, maybe perhaps small or medium-sized number of unrecognized infections in the community who are then passing infection around, and we just can't keep up with the virus.
And Ben, you know, this rise and fall of cases really kind of reminds us that this, how difficult this disease is to truly contain and eradicate. Mm. So as a health expert, does this mean for us moving forward, we're just going to get used to these periods of tightening and then relaxations of restrictions for, until maybe a vaccine is found?
I think so. I think that's going to be the way things go in Hong Kong, probably in Malaysia, until a vaccine, which could be in 6 months, could be in a year. Unfortunately, what we need to do is look forward to the good times when the measures are relaxed, because we know that there are going to be periods when measures are tightened again in the coming year.
All right. Thank you for your time, Benjamin. That was Benjamin Cowling from the University of Hong Kong, reminding us that until we get a vaccine, right, we're always going to have periods of where restrictions, there are relaxations and then restrictions once again. Something that we're seeing even here in Malaysia right now, there's the big question of whether we should make masks mandatory.
Well, what he said was very true and very reflective of Malaysia, especially in KL, because he said that that complacency set in. They thought that they had got it under control, a bit like Singapore. They went out again. They went to restaurants and bars, and they forgot their social distancing measures and their masks. And look at where they are now. I think it's more serious this time around because it's afflicting the older people, right? 55 years old median and nursing homes. So you're going to get a lot of...
We're having one cluster in the Kluang.
Well, exactly,
now.
Right? Yeah. We this morning, we talked about how clusters are now, 18?
19.
Yes. Up from 4 yesterday.
Yeah.
So, alarm bells.
It's what happened in Europe and US, right? Where, sadly, a lot of the residents at nursing homes passed away. There were like these clusters forming and nobody was keeping an eye on them. So once again, it's... pay attention to the vulnerable groups, right? So the elderly, the particularly young, those who have existing illnesses, they have to be more mindful. We have to be more mindful in actually what we do. But, I think there's always going to be groups that are overlooked. Singapore is a classic example, the foreign worker cluster. I wonder for us what other new clusters might unfortunately emerge.
Yeah, I think the economy is the main thing, right? And joblessness, I think, in Hong Kong is at a 15-year high, or rather 15-year low.
Above 6%. How do you balance that, right?
How do you balance that, right? And if they have another lockdown in Hong Kong, it's going to be alarm bells. I hope we don't have the same situation in Malaysia. But again, Muhyiddin Yassin went out and publicly said that we've got to be careful.
That was
jangan
the main...
kesini, jangan kesana,
Well, it's true. We have to do our role. But up next, we'll be speaking to Michelle Kaiti Lim, the CEO of Institute of Corporate Directors Malaysia, on who qualifies to sit on the board of directors. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.